This is Carlo with Four Guys with Quarters, and we have a very exciting interview with Trina Farrell, who's a colorist in the comic book industry. She's for Marvel, Image, Dark Horse, Bolt, and more. I'm very excited to do and get to know a little bit Trina and the kind of work that goes into coloring comic books. And on the panel, we have Paris, who runs the Marvel Cinematic Universe Facebook group. And we have PA, who is a huge comic book fan, just like myself. So, Trina, I just wanted to go to you first. And could you just introduce yourself for us and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay, so I'm Trina Farrell. I'm a comic book colorist for a professional comic book colorist for multiple companies like Marvel, Vault, Image. I've been working now for about 4 years, and I'm based in Dublin, Ireland, as you can probably hear from my accent. So.
Awesome. Well, I do have a question for you. One of the first questions I always ask is, how did you get started in the business? What was your big break, and what was that like for you, your first project?
Okay, so this is kind of a funny story. So I was down in my local shopping center about 5 years ago. I was kind of just out of college. I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I happened to pass by a giant tent. And I have to first preface it, and Ireland is very small. So you have these tiny comic book conventions. And there was this tiny little comic book convention that was going called DICE that was run by, I don't know if you know the comic book store, The Big Bang, that's based in Dublin. With John Henn, it's a very famous Eisner-winning comic book store. Anyway, it was being run, and they had some very, very famous editors like Cebulski and things who were there. And I had never really kind of thought of coloring before, but so I wandered in, being quite young, 24, 25, and I had like a bundle of really crappy sketches, and poor Cebulski when he was looking at them, and the rest of the Marvel editors. But it kind of got me interested in comics, and from there, I was kind of in and out, kind of maybe doing some kind of web comics and things until someone suggested that I try coloring. So I started coloring, and I sent in some pages to Boom. And the thing about coloring is that kind of, you know, once you get one gig, they kind of, it starts the ball rolling. And so I think my first job was Weavers with Cy Spurrier and Dylan Burnett in Boom Studios. And from there, yeah, just kind of continued on, you know, it kind of went from strength to strength. And I think I've been, yeah, it's about 4 or 5 years now I've been working. So it's kind of, it's been a good long while. But there was really no kind of like, it's hard in comic books because you don't really break in per se. You always feel like you're on a precipice, like a cliff. Like, well, I have a job next week in a way. But I could definitely say that kind of probably of about 3 years I'm like properly in at this point and kind of working professionally. So.
Nice. Congratulations.
Thank you.
But go ahead, Klaus.
Oh, no, you're good, PK. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask, as far as what you do, is there any projects in particular that kind of, because you sound like you're a fan too, right? So is there any particular projects you worked on that you were super excited to be a part of because you're a fan of the writer / artist or anyone else that's involved in that project?
I was very excited to work on West Coast Avengers. Kind of a while back. There was a 10-issue one with them, mainly because I was a massive fan of Kelly Thompson. And I'm trying to think now, there's been multiple art, like I tend to have favorite artists that I love to work with because I really like their art. It's a lot easier as a colorist if you like someone's art compared to if you don't, because you have to stare at it for like 40 hours straight. I'm always really excited to work with people like Declan Shelfie, for example, or Stephen Mooney, kind of some of the local Irish artists here. I was very excited recently. I some of the previews went up. I worked with some really, really fantastic women on that the Wonder Woman thing for Marvel. There's some Natty Shamans and then Elnora, I think her name is. So I was very excited with that. It's I'm trying to think of names off my head, but I probably at this point worked with hundreds of artists. So it's been very rare. I haven't been very excited to work on, but in terms of like books as well, I was very excited to work on, say, like a Crowded, because that's the book with Christopher Savella and Ted Brandon Rostein. It's such a great book, such a fantastic idea. And it was really, really, I'm still working on, I'm very, very jazzed to be working on that. So yeah, a ton, like it's rare I'm not excited to work on something, because I tend to pick the things I'm excited about.
Nice.
I was going to ask, when you receive projects now, I know, like, you know, things have changed in the industry, you know, some people prefer the digital format, and then you still have some people that prefer like the pen and paper kind of ink format. How do you do your coloring? Is it all digital? Do you receive it digital, or do you still get in the mail and color by hand?
Oh God, if I colored by hand, I'd be crying right now, still coloring. No, so everything coloring wise is all done digital. It used to be a thing that back in the day, you would actually physically receive the pages in the mail, and you would have to put in the actual color codes so that it could go to the printers and they could be like, okay, so Superman's blue is this blue, and et cetera. But everything is done digitally these days through Photoshop. I don't know any colorist who works traditionally unless they're doing something very specific. So I basically get, like anything, you're kind of at the end of the pipeline in a way. So, you know, I get the pages, they come to me in the right sizes for printing, and then I have to do them to, like, there's a lot of creative freedom these days just because of the way the printers are. Like back in the day, you had to be very specific with colors because the printers were kind of, it was older technology, but these days everything's so kind of advanced that you can kind of print any color you want at this point without too much trouble. So, but there are certain specs that you need to work to depending on the company as well. Like, for example, DC tends to work a lot darker than Marvel does, as just one kind of, just even in like the way that the paper holds the ink, just things you have to think about. So it's, yeah, so that's, it's all digital, all through Adobe Photoshop generally.
And I'm on your website, www.trina-t.ferrell.com. And I see some of your covers. They're really, really nice. And I was just wondering, did you draw these also in color, or did you just do the coloring on those?
I do draw from time to time. Mm-hmm. But no, generally, like all the covers that would be on up there would be that would be other people as well.
Other people. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So they, like, a lot of companies will bring on colorists just to kind of do covers externally. Color covers externally. Like, it's, some artists will color themselves, but generally it's almost faster pipeline to get a colorist to do it.
Great. Nice. Yeah, you got some amazing colors, some amazing art on your site that I'm scrolling down in right now. It's pretty cool. The detail is amazing.
Thank you.
But yeah, how long does it, I guess, Carl, if you don't mind me ask, how long does it take you to do sort of one page, I guess? Like,
so this is where, Maverick. Yeah, I have to aim for the speed you need to be at. You have to aim for about an hour per page. So now that's what I aim for, but that doesn't necessarily happen. It kind of depends on the page. Like I recently did a page where it was literally just like a black box and the line running through it. And I was like, oh, there we go. Orange on the white line. My day is done. So sometimes it takes 2 minutes, and then other times I've had like a huge crowd scene and I'm there just swearing at the artist. If I there's some pages I've probably taken about 10 hours to do because there's just so much going on. So kind of it really depends. But like on average, I'm trying to aim for about an hour or two per page. So it's sped up quite a bit because I tend to have people working underneath me called flatters, who are basically people who like separate out the colors to kind of speed things up.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know that was a thing that you guys had people underneath you as well that helped out. That's actually really cool to have that kind of help.
They're the unsung heroes of comics. It's just, to actually flat a book can take quite a while. So generally, pretty much every colorist who's out there beyond maybe one or two they get just external flatters, and there are people who kind of work professionally. Like I know Deacon If, for example, he's another Irish colorist, and he worked professionally as a flatter for like years and years under Matt Wilson. I think he's Matt Wilson's kind of personal flatter. I'm not quite sure if that's the same scenario, but they're really so important, because they allow you to do like a huge amount of pages in a short amount of time, because otherwise actually like separating the colors is like, it's a whole process.
Oh, wow. That's actually very interesting. That's something I never knew that went on in the comic book industry. I just learned something new.
Yeah, no, it's funny because they're completely disconnected from the companies as well. They're all freelancers who are just hired by us. Like the companies just, they know we have flatters and they're like, ah, it's fine. As long as they're not posting any inks online or anything like that. But that's the unspoken agreement, I guess.
Now, is everything, like for you, for example, when you take a look at a page and you're about to color it, do you already know what colors you're going to put in there? Or does that change depending on what you envision for that scene?
So I like to color scenes in, or color pages in batches, depending on the scene. So say if we have everyone like a bar, I will, and there's like four or five pages in the bar, I will do all the pages together, because it just kind of speeds up the process a bit. But it kind of really depends. Some pages I look at them and I go like, oh, I know exactly what I need to do here. And then other pages, I'll have an idea in my head and I try to put it to paper and I'm like, this is just not working. That red is not working there. And so I have to change things up around. And the ideal scenario is that I already know what I'm doing when I come into it, because that's faster, but you know, it doesn't always happen like that.
Somebody in the chat says flatterers sound like the in-betweeners of animation. I don't know if maybe animation has something similar. Not keen on animation, but
yeah, kind of in a way. It's not really creative work per se, flashing, because you can, it's all about kind of separating the colors from the from each other. So flatting is basically kind of like when I'm coloring in Photoshop, I use something called a magic wand tool, which grabs a certain color on the flats, and say like someone's face, for example, or someone's bag, and that obviously needs to be separated out from the background, so I can quickly grab things, and so I'm not just trying to fill in the lines, essentially, that the lines are already filled in and colored in. So the actual flatting itself, they can be any kind of random colors, they just need to be separated, essentially. So it's I'd say it's more of a graphic design job than it is a creative job. I imagine in betweeners they would kind of be a bit more creative. I don't know, but I don't know much about animation, so it could be wrong in that as well.
Now, how long do you have to actually, let's say you just get a book in from Marvel or Image or somebody, how long do you have to work on that project before you got to get it back to the company?
Now, it depends. Usually I'm hired on for kind of issue books, issue series. So like I'll probably get in around 2 weeks to sort of do the book. And it generally takes me about 3 or 4 days to do a book. But that book needs to be flatted in the meantime. So I have like a small army of flatters in the background who are like working on it. Now, this is obviously an ideal scenario, and comics do not work in ideal scenarios. I said before that kind of like colors are very much at the end of the pipeline. And so if someone is late at the top of the pipeline, say if the writer is late, and then if the artist is late, you're at the end. So you have to make up the lost time. And so unfortunately, colors get kind of the short end of the stick when it comes to that. There's been times I've been asked to kind of color 20 pages in like 3 or 4 days. And at that point, it's a kind of a logistical issue of getting all the flatting done and then shifting things around. And like pretty much every colorist I know kind of goes through a situation like this, where what will often end up happening is that there's the whole bunch of everything goes kind of wrong in the pipeline, and they have to grab a colorist and kind of get this done in like 3 or 4 days. So it kind of ideals, and usually I have to say, is in mostly it's an ideal scenario. Just sometimes you'll get like
you'll just get situations and it's often no one's fault. Like someone got sick up the line and, you know, mm-hmm. you have to make up the lost time and the company doesn't have a choice. So.
Right. Yeah. So it's sort of probably ebb and flows goes up and down when you're like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe like there's an emergency scenario where they're like, hey, we need to really get this done fast. We're behind. Let's get it over and get it to the colorist and then you step in and do your thing.
Yeah. No, yeah. I've been on situations before where a book has had three colorists because they were just trying to get it out in one night and they were like, we're just gonna try basically a feat of engineering to get it done. But I'm painting a very bad picture, but normally the situation is it's about 2 weeks or so.
Yeah.
And just obviously things happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just like anything, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. Life, it gets in the way.
Yeah.
I have a question as well on when it comes to certain companies, right? When it comes to companies, let's say some of the ones you work on like Marvel or Dark Horse, do they have a specific color set that you have to use? Like, do they tell you, okay, Captain America has to be this blue and this red. It has to be this exact color.
I think that back in the day, yeah, but these days I don't think the companies are as fussed as long as it kind of looks good. So there are kind of technical specs where they will want the colors done in a certain way through Photoshop so that they will print correctly. Hmm. And obviously there is also kind of personal, depending on who is like looking and editing the book, they will have personal kind of not personal, but kind of like the company will often kind of look at the pages and go like, well, you know, this needs to be more blue, or, you know, you've got that what costume color wrong. It switched in the last issue here because, you know, this happened and et cetera, et cetera. Back in the day, Superman had to be like a certain color because that was just the color they used because kind of original printing of comics. And back in like the 60s and 70s, you had something like 60 colors to work with, which is why Batman was a dark gray and Superman was bright blue and bright red because it was a very distinctive in between each other. So, you know, but these days you have so much, you have like 16,000 colors to work with on Photoshop. So you can kind of just do what you want within reason.
Yeah, they give you a little bit of creative control in that.
Oh, yeah. No, exactly. Yeah. And like, there's specs you need to work with in terms of like the costume designs and, you know, the skin color and everything like that. But like, generally, it's rare I'll get back a thing going like, oh, you made that too blue or too red or something like that.
Right. Like the blood. You made the blood pink. What's going on here? Right.
Yeah. So you spoke about working with artists earlier. Do you have a top five of your favorite artists that you like to work with generally or have worked with?
Oh, God.
Without getting in trouble.
Is that putting you on the spot? Hey,
no, it's fine. I'm just quickly running through my head on my favorite artists that I really, really enjoyed working with. So there is, I loved working with Jen Bartel. I was on her Blackbird series ages ago. Fantastic. Jen is fantastic. We worked really, really well together. And there's also Alison Sampson, who I'm currently working on Sleeping Beauties with IDW. I really love working with Alison. There's the combo team of Ted Brandt and Rose Stein, who work on Crowded. They're really, really fantastic artists, and I really recommend you check out Crowded. I worked quite a bit with Stephen Mooney on various projects. He did something called Half Past Danger, and he's done a lot of work for Marvel. There are various Irish guys that I work with currently and that I love them all, but I'm trying to think of one more there. I'm finding it tough because I work with so many and they're all so brilliant. That'd be kind of like my general kind of idea. Like there's a Nathan Stockman at the moment. I'm doing Savage with him on Valiant. I worked with Benjamin Dewey. He was fantastic on Namor just recently there. They're just people kind of, they don't appreciate the amount of work that artists put in. It's insanity when it comes to, and you know, this is why, like, when artists are late, I'm like, it's fine. You know what? You probably been working straight out for the last like 16 hours. Don't worry about it, you know? But yeah, I like to have very good working relationships with artists. It just makes things easier down the line.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Does that allow you to do any freelance work as far as like, I'm sure you're pretty busy when you get a bunch of comics coming in and things like that, but how's the freelance stuff, or do you even do it? Are you just like, I don't have time for that? Or do you like make time for freelancing to, like, you know, if like somebody's creating a brand new character or a brand new writer, or somebody, you know, that's trying to be an upstart and they're like, hey, they've seen your work and stuff like that. Do you make time for things like that?
So kind of like, I will sometimes get in my local country. There's a couple of artists who will contact me and they're kind of trying to break in professionally. And I like to do work for them because I like to support kind of local artists and things like that. It kind of really depends. There are certain people that I'm friends with that I will sometimes color their work. And there's other people that, they just come to me with like a really, really good idea. And they're like, you know, what you want to avoid sometimes as a colorist is, or like in general, that like when you're being hired on by people, is that there's a whole process to kind of pitching and like doing the comic. And you want to avoid being the person who's the only one who knows anything about that. So like generally, if someone kind of comes to me and they seem to be really in the know and they know what they're doing, then I'm 100%, you know, on board if the pay is good and they seem to have like a time frame. I do here and there quite a bit of work, kind of like, I would say more kind of indie work. I like to work in interesting projects. That's, you know, if something looks good, I'm and I have the time, I'll try and slot it in. But it's just the scheduling and coloring is kind of, it's all over the place. So like there'd be times generally I would generally say about 8 to 10 projects a month. But that shifts wildly. So I'd say I probably only color about like 4 or 5 books a month, because you know the books will go on a break or something will happen down the line, and obviously with 2020 being the way it is, it's been all over the ship. So
yeah, right, awesome. Yeah, that's awesome.
Now one of the things I did want to ask you is, I know that you've worked probably on so many books by now, so I know I can't ask you any specific stories because there's probably just so many that you've read and forgotten and then reread. But when it comes to characters, is there any characters that you've colored or any series in general that you colored that stand out to you that say, wow, this one was a lot of fun, I really enjoyed this one?
I'm trying to, that book by, what was it, that Shuri book that I did a while back there with VTLA, they're a fantastic writer. I just really, really enjoyed working on that book. I remember that standing out to me as kind of, God, it just, like, the Marvel would just kind of, God, just do whatever with the colors. And I really enjoyed that. I really like when books kind of give me creative freedom, or the best thing is kind of like when they just allow me to do something crazy. I work with Alison Sampson on a Middle World book, one of the Hit Girl books. It was a Mumbai Hit Girl book. And I just went, feck it, whatever. Where like lines are merely an illusion. And I just colored outside the lines. And, you know, Alison loved it. And the people loved it. You know, just anything that's kind of creative freedom, I adore. If to give like a good answer to this, it'd probably be like, I really enjoyed West Coast Avengers with Kelly Thompson, because I just really, really love the characters of Hawkgirl and the rest of the cast that they had. It was a really, really kind of fun, bouncy book, you know, and I got to color these beautiful kind of smoky LA sunsets and things. It was great, great fun.
Wow. Nice. You know, I have the West Coast Avengers in my pull box on my local comic store. I think I still got like 1 or 2 issues stuck in there, so I'm going to go pick those up this week. just because you colored it now, and I'm gonna make sure I read the whole series. That's really cool.
Good, yeah. That's it's a really fun book. Yeah.
Is there specific characters that you really, really adore the most because of how they're drawn and you just love coloring those characters?
For characters that I have colored, I really love coloring Spider-Man. I think he's just the way that you, what you can do with his suit and the way that he's portrayed, I think is really, really fun. There's a lot of really nice ways you can approach it. I really love coloring the X-Men as well, because I think you can get very creative, and I just love the yellows that they use. In terms of characters I haven't colored yet, I would love to color Superman. I just love the way that people depict Superman. I think we just really kind of like, there's a lot of grim, dark stuff I do. So like it's just really nice to have like a character like Superman, just kind of bright, and you can use it kind of bright, intense. That red and blue combo is amazing, and what people do with it.
Right. Be able to color his laser vision.
Oh yeah, no, that's the best. It just those kind of in those intense sort of reds and I love coloring lasers. On a second note, like or just kind of like any kind of explosion stuff you can get. Yeah. It's really, really fun and simple to do, and you just slap on a couple effect layers and it looks amazing. Instead of like delicately rendering like Spider-Man's top of his head, you can just do it really quickly.
Yeah, do you find yourself when you're coloring like a action scene or something that you're like, oh yes, it's like pew 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 pew, you know?
Yeah.
This is close as like.
Yeah, I always I'm always kind of thinking, how do I make this more intense? And I was doing that recently with in Namor and Benjamin Dewey's artwork. And there's a scene, I think it's Namor 4, where it's all underwater, and kind of doing things underwater is a bit different, but it's kind of meant to be, there's like lava spewing out and there's lasers, and I was like, they're skeletons, I'll just make their eyes glow, why not? You know, and like, you know, there's like magic flying out, and it's very, very fun. Took me about 10 hours to color, but it's very, very fun nonetheless.
Nice. It has to be a fun job.
Yeah.
Sorry, what you saying?
Oh, yeah, I said it has to be a fun job. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, that has to be a fun job. Just like, you know, you get the book, you're coloring it, you're going through the scenario of like each page, and especially when you have creative control a little bit, where you can... we can experiment with different things and look at it like, does this look right? Right. And then sort of do your thing. And
I think in a way it's nice as you get like a preview of the certain books. I was going to read anyway. And just we get like a preview of the books and I, you know, also have the ability to sort of direct the color. I always think that, a lot of people have said to me, other colors over the time, that the inks are like a framing device and the colors are like adding the emotion in a way, if that makes sense.
It does, yeah. Because the colors make it pop and bring it to life, I think. You know,
yeah.
You can stare at a black and white image and the artwork is fantastic, but when the colors come in, it makes it feel more three-dimensional and it makes it feel more alive. So... definitely. We have a question from Graphic God in the chat. He's asking, how large are the panels you need to color digitally? He imagines the files need to be very high resolution to keep the quality for print.
So generally, on American comic books, it's 17 to 26 centimeters across, and it's 300 to 600 DPI, depending. The specs are like hard coded into my head. The file size would be less than you think. Generally, the file size I'd be working with would be like 200 megabytes. But obviously, when you're doing like a graphic novel or something, that becomes a lot. I'm doing a graphic novel right now, and I think it's occupying about one half of my hard drive, and I can't get rid of it until the book's finished.
I got a question for you. If nobody else on the panel has a question right now.
Go ahead.
Okay. Before you started coloring, I know that you had to be into comics because you mentioned that you you know, you went to the comic store. So before you started doing what you do now, what were some of your favorite series that you've read?
So this is rather kind of embarrassing. I wasn't too much into kind of Marvel and kind of DC stuff, or kind of, I suppose, Western comics at all, until I kind of started working in them. I'm racking my brains now, but I mainly read manga when I was younger, because that was kind of like the stuff that was kind of for my demographic, you know, when you're like a 16-year-old girl, Batman isn't as appealing. And I think when you're older, you can kind of appreciate it a bit more. It's like, what the, why would I want to like read about a man in a bat suit? Like I can appreciate it obviously a lot more these days. I remember when I was younger really enjoying Watchmen. And the having like some really kind of older comics like Bloom County and things like that, and the Beano and the Dandy as well, because that's what you got when you were Irish in the 90s. So I really kind of started reading sort of Marvel and DC and kind of more Image comics and more kind of, I suppose, unique kind of European comics as well when I got physically into comics, because, you know, you start to hear about these things and your horizons expand a little bit. So I can't really pinpoint one specific thing I really enjoyed. But I think in a way I was almost not destined per se, but I always had like an interest in kind of comics. And when it was the idea of me like working in comics has floated to me, I was like, oh, that actually sounds really cool. I want to do that. You know?
Awesome.
Are you allowed to talk about any projects you're currently working on or working or about to come up that you're excited to work on?
I can't say anything that isn't like announced yet. And there's also, because of COVID, a lot of projects are currently in limbo. In terms of what I am currently working on, I'm doing stuff for Vault. I'm doing the Shadow Service, which is very good, with Kevin Scott. I do have an upcoming Marvel series. I don't think it's been announced yet though, so I can't say anything about it. I usually have like a couple of pitches that are kind of floating around out there. I'm like racking my brains now. I need like a list of things I'm working on. I'm so bad when it comes to it. Yeah, there's I know the Crowded, for example, is going to be out again soon. I'm currently working on that in the background. It switched to from an issue series to they're going straight to trade. So that's with Image, I think, in the next couple of months.
Awesome. Yeah, we're excited to see the work when it does come out. So we'll have to follow you on Twitter and check out your website and
we should be able to
fantastic art.
Thank you.
Sorry, Paris. And I was going to say we should be able to link some of that info down in the description.
Yeah.
The show.
Awesome. Yeah.
Look at me coloring the lines.
Yeah.
My parents think I do. No, I'm just right. It's a bit more complicated than that.
Yeah. So, like, you know, everybody's a harsh critic of for themselves, right? You know, everybody's, you know, self-critic on their own work, right? Is there anything that you put out there that you're like, but everyone else loves it, but you're like, thanks, you know, just do you have those sort of things or no, you're like, you know, this is dope, so this is gonna be nice regardless, right? So
God, yeah, I remember time has no meaning. I got bronchitis, and it was so bad that I coughed so hard that I pulled out my back and bruised a rib, so I couldn't like sit down or lie down, so I just had to kind of stand in the middle of the room for a good day or two. And at that, I think I was coloring a Dynamite book at that point. I think it was a James Bond book, and I was I didn't think it turned out all that well because I was so ill at the time. You know, I can barely see straight, let alone color properly. funny enough, I recently did a book with Aftershock called I Breathed a Body. And I
I love the book. I absolutely do. And Annie MacDonald is such a fantastic artist. And I was kind of thinking after I'd done the first issues, I don't know if I've done this justice at all. Like, the inks are so fantastic. And I don't know. And then everyone was kind of saying, oh, the colors are brilliant. And I was like, all right.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Like, just I find when a colorist, when kind of all else fails, doing something unique sometimes stands to you better than trying to like render it perfectly.
Now, awesome. I know that you said that you know that there's certain artists that you love to color for. Has any company ever told you that, you know, let's say, I'm not going to say this, but I'm going to try. So let's say that an artist is drawing a book for one of the companies that you work for, freelance for, and that artist tells the company, I don't want anyone else but Trina to color my book. Has that ever happened where an artist demanded that you color the book?
I won't say demanded, because as an artist, you know, you don't hold that much swing unless you're, I don't know, someone, insert crazy famous artist here. There's definitely been times where a good few artists have been like, they've specifically requested me, because what will generally happen is when an artist is hired on, and this doesn't happen every time, but generally the editors will know that it's much better to hire on someone, a colorist who works well with the artist, because generally the artist will have some input on how their inks are colored, you know, and you know, it makes sense if the artists themselves can kind of be like, well, you know, I like her, or I like him, or I like them, you know, that they work best with my inks. So there'd be less friction, essentially. But not saying that, there's been plenty of times I've just been paired up with artists that I've never heard of and they've probably never heard of me, and it worked out okay in the end. So, yeah. But yeah, there's been, I don't know, a good few times that kind of like I'm just requested, and and it's not a sure thing, obviously. I do know there's been sometimes certain companies have you know, artists will request me and I can't do it, or they're for whatever reason the company is kind of like, well, she's too busy on this, or you know, we want her on something else, or we don't feel she's the right fit for this book, and then it doesn't go through, and that happens as well. Things shift and change all the time in comic books. Yeah. But yeah, like it's rare for artists to make demands, but they can make suggestions, definitely.
They make recommendations, right?
Yeah.
Right. And they get it. Then plus they have to check with you, check your schedule, you know, make sure that you're not, you know, busy and timelines and all that
other
stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's awesome.
When it comes to Spider-Man, I know that you mentioned you like color in the Spider-Man suit. Have you ever gotten the opportunity to color any of the, like, the symbiotes, like Venom or Carnage?
No, and I would actually love to, because I think the way that they look, they're so shiny and cool. And one of the great things as well about coloring on kind of black suited characters is that generally the artist will ink them in, so you're left with very little work to do because it's already black, you know.
He's got to throw a shine on it, right?
Yeah, no, exactly, perfect, done. But no, I'd actually love to work on the symbiote things. Yeah. I think they're great. One thing I'd actually love to work on, I hope we get a chance to someday, is the Alien series. I know Marvel bought it, the IP, recently from Dark Horse, and I'd love to work on that. I have a very tumultuous relationship with that IP. I was shown the movie when I was like 3 or 4, I think. that thing stalks me in my nightmares. I killing the beasts in a way. But yeah, that's an IP I'd love to work on, that and Superman as well.
Nice. You like the ability to color the xenomorph and all those.
I think there's some really unique stuff you could do with kind of darker colors, and I'd love a chance to kind of do that.
Yeah, the acid for blood and all that stuff. Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Nice.
When it comes to, okay, so you get a project, you send it back in within the 2-week time frame, and for whatever reason, the editor or somebody that reviews it says, you know what? It looks good, but I want this change or, you know, this color change, and they send it back to you. How long do you usually have as a colorist to make changes like that or amend something?
So this depends on company to company. Often you will find that your deadline is almost a print date. And I can say that there's been times when I send in the files and then 10 minutes later, they're aggregating the whole PDF and then sending it off to South Korea or whatever to be printed. Sometimes that's how close things kind of come. Generally, like, you know, they'll just give me a time frame for whatever they need. You know, there's sometimes I just say, just get it in whenever, you know, we have like a long time frame for this book, or we sometimes be like, we need it on the dot at like 6 o'clock tomorrow or else the book won't go to print, or you know, we needed for it to kind of, they're, if they're doing something graphic design wise in the background, if they're shifting around panels, or, you know, sometimes that happens, rarely, but it does. It kind of just really depends on the company and like the way that they work. I just generally work to whatever, you know, what they need. And obviously if I get ill or something like that, I can, things get shifted around as well.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Who are some of your biggest influencers in coloring? Who got you started on this path?
I'm a huge fan of Jordi Belair's work. She does such fantastic work, and Matt Wilson is such a fantastic colorist as well. Obviously, Dave Stewart, who's kind of like at the pinnacle of coloring. Tamara Bonvillain, I can think of multiple. Marissa Louise, kind of. There's the colorist community is very tight knit, and we actually talk to each other all the time. So,
oh, great.
Yeah, yeah. We all kind of share our woes. so yeah, but I kind of definitely kind of Jordi Belair, because she was based in Ireland at the time, and she kind of. Mm. Got me started with certain things, and, you know, kind of taught me quite a bit as well. So
awesome. Yeah, the resurgence of comics is a real thing, so I'm excited, especially on digital format, on where it goes. There's a lot of things happening in the industry, which is great, especially for folks like yourself. So I'll definitely be buying books and reading them.
I think there's almost a renaissance, I guess, of this really, really interesting things. And there's so many different ways to kind of publish comics. Like back in the day, you would have to almost either be a very unique, small kind of French company, or you'd have to kind of go to kind of Marvel and DC and work through them back in the day. But nowadays you can kind of do things through Kickstarter, and there's like, I still work on some Kickstarter books, and you can kind of do your own thing as well, kind of publish yourself. And there's, you know, because of the internet, there's so many options that you can just pitch to people online. You may never meet them in person. There's like so many artists I've never met in person, or editors I've never met in person, most of them in fact, just for where I'm based. So right. It's such a good time, I think, there's so many like unique, diverse stories at the moment. I think it's a really exciting time.
Yeah.
So with that said, do you think, or I would say, how do you view the far as the comic industry going forward? Do you think that, you know, hard copies will go away and only be printed per pre-order and everything just be digital? Or do you see it still being a hybrid situation? And because of all the independent comics coming up, what do you think?
I think the printed comics will always be a thing, because people really like to hold printed comics in their hands. I do think that the industry as a whole is moving away from floppy, kind of, you know, the 22-inch issue series. And that's just kind of naturally, a lot of young people I know, they just don't buy issue series anymore. That's kind of very old concept, I think. And the industry, I think, is adapting to it very slowly, could be a little bit faster. I think the future will be kind of a hybrid of online and printed copies. Yeah. I think there needs to be better access online digitally for like a lot of people, because you, a lot of people don't like, yeah, don't like to just rely on Comixology, for example. I think there needs to be more models there, but you know, I think that will probably be a thing in the future as kind of like things move. Sorry, go on.
I was going to ask, do you think it's more like a more of a general speaking, because you know, I know IDW has their own, right? And DC has their own and Marvel has their own, but more or less a way to consume generally outside of like Comixology and just something more like across, no matter what platform you have, you have access to these digital books. What do you think about that? Is that more ideal or?
I think that it's more ideal, but I do think that in the next couple of years, you will see a push away from Comixology. And then I take, for example, what is it? Shonen Jump, the Japanese company, they released everything. They have like their own online reader at this point. Mm-hmm. You can get everything you want to read for their entire collection for €2 a month, which is really, really fantastic. So I think that companies will probably start up their own models. It's just the logistics of actually getting that working at the moment is a bit difficult. I think companies are kind of just putting things online because that's sort of the thing that you do, you know. But as we kind of push more towards digital, I think there'll be more kind of unique platforms, and it'll be kind of a bit like, you know, how it starts off with Netflix being kind of the one kind of main online video service provider for kind of movies and things, and then, you know, more people kind of latch onto the idea, and you know, more businesses pop up from there. So I think it's definitely kind of something that will, I think, expand and grow in the next couple of years. Now, I'm not an economics expert, so take everything I say with a grain of salt, but the way I see it is like, definitely that printed will never really leave, but the way that we consume comics won't necessarily be through Comixology, it will be through other platforms, whether it be the company's platforms or through like a business entrepreneur kind of like, well, you know, kind of bringing everything together maybe on other platforms.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Amazon starts dipping in here soon. So
yeah
get the artist paid, you know.
I'm inspired by my paycheck, that's what right. I'm
you know, I know that Paris runs that Marvel Cinematic Facebook group, so I wanted to ask you, have you ever that you can remember colored any comic books that crossed over into the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Not that I can recall. Sorry, kind of a boring answer, but I don't think specifically. I could be wrong on that. I've quoted a lot of them. Like opening them out, I'm trying to think.
You do a Black Panther?
I did a Black Panther, yeah. I think it was Jen Bartel's work. I don't know, did that connect in? You would probably know better than me.
Yeah. That's an intergalactic Empire of Wakanda. That's more of a space one. There's some Black Widow stuff, I believe, that you've done.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a combination of things.
Yeah. That I'm not quite sure how they work it really, kind of combining the Marvel cinematic universe compared to like their current universe. I think there's probably dips in and out here and there.
Yeah. They probably they take a few things from the stories and things like that. There may be some colored things that they also take from the comics that they put into the movie for outfits and designs and stuff like
that. Oh yeah, no, definitely. Yeah. They had Spider-Gwen in the latest the Enter the Spider-Verse movie, and her costume was kind of something really, really unique that the colorist Rico and another artist kind of created. So like I think they're kind of directly influencing each other from time to time. Just
right. Yeah,
you know, grabbing the most popular elements, I would think.
Yeah. Have you thought about any digital animation coloring, or is that sort of like, I'll stick to what I know sort of thing? Or
it's something I've considered. So within animation, there are people who are like professional colorists who their entire job is to go through the movie and just, you know, make sure that everything is kind of color corrected correctly and, you know, right. That it matches the mood and et cetera, et cetera. That is, within my own country, there is a very strong animation culture compared to comic books. So like people working professionally in comic books here, I think there's only about like, let's say kind of max 10 to 15. Mm-hmm. Wow. We'll crucify for that later, maybe. So we'll probably watching on a car tree. But the it's something I've kind of considered, but I'm very happy where I am right now, kind of coloring comics. I really love it. It's a great job and stressful, but great.
Right. Yeah. Awesome.
PK, did you have any questions?
So what would you tell our viewers, anyone that's artists in the chat or anyone that's interested in any kind of content creation from your experience? What do you think, what kind of advice would you give them?
In terms of breaking into comics or general? Breaking into comics. Okay. So I think the main thing with breaking into comics is to first understand that comics are very, very difficult. It is very, very hard to even do 20 pages in a month. And I don't think people can appreciate that as an artist, for example. Breaking in as a colorist, also very difficult. You have to do a lot of pages in a short amount of time. And breaking in as a writer, it's a weird combination of look, right place, right time, and making sure you get your name out there. General advice is kind of join Twitter, actually build yourself a group of peers. Not just kind of like famous, don't go to like Dan Slott and be like, be my friend, but rather try and get into like your local community, make friends and kind of support and build yourself up. What's going to stand to you is bringing everyone up together rather than kind of like just going to like famous people and be like, you know, like my work. Try and just, gonna sound bad, but you know, if you are kind of creating stuff, try to keep up with popular trends and things like that. You know, you don't have to like sell your soul and do exactly what everyone else is doing, but like having an understanding of like what's popular and what kind of demographics can hit in the right place in the right time, you know. And I think really though, getting into comics is a combination of just like look and hard grit and an inability to say no or to give up, basically.
Right. Awesome. Yeah, those are that's true. I mean, you're keeping it real. That's the truth, right? Yeah. You know, it's not an easy. Well, I'm going to be an artist, okay? Well, I'm going to be a writer, okay? Yeah. Well, you got to put some work in. You know, you're just not going to publish anything and automatically have people, you know, clamoring for your work. You know, so
yeah, it's a hard road. I think was it Iron Spike? She's really, really fantastic. She's a lot of Kickstarters and things like that. And she had a comic out years ago that said like comics is like a 10-year queue that you need to get into and you can't jump out of it. And you're probably going to need support at the same time. Like you're not just going to start comics and start making money 3 days later, you know?
Right. Yeah.
You mentioned, Shonen Jump. And the reason why, can you imagine, because they don't have colors. And can you imagine that they publish their, I guess, manga weekly, or they used to publish it weekly.
Oh my God. Yeah. I did. It's, I there's a guy, the one who does One Piece, and his schedule is insane. He gets like 3 hours sleep a night. He's been doing it for 2 decades. He hasn't taken his honeymoon yet. He's been married for like 20 years. So, yeah. But they also have like, they actually have assistants underneath them as well that help. So, but I can't imagine doing 20 pages in a week. That's insane to me. I think a lot of artists kind of struggle doing 20 pages in a month, and it's a lot. You don't think it is, but it's because it's insanity, and you need to like run through kind of rewrites, and you know something will get messed up, or you know, there'll be miscommunications, and you know, you have to do the thumbnailing and then have to go to the colorist and like, oh god, how it supports itself, I have no idea, but it works, so.
Right, and that's kind of what I was touching on. You mentioned it's a struggle getting 20 pages a month done. I know a lot of people criticize comics for coming out, you know, taking a month or two to between each issues. And like I said, there's many layers there, right? It's not like a manga where, you know, you just, you don't have all this team like they, you know, they
just
do.
Just one dude in the studio.
Right.
Desperately trying to stay awake through the 20th hour of drawing, you know, generations, like how comics work. I do wish that there was more of a culture within comics of having assistants for artists. Like I have an assistant. I actually get, not in coloring sometimes, I will get assistants who will color correct things for me, or they'll add like layer effects and things like that just to speed up the process a bit. I think it's a bit more, I'm not going to say taboo in, but generally like as an artist will, everything you see in the inks will generally be done by the artist. And that's kind of, that's 3 to 4 weeks of blood, sweat and tears, because it's very hard. You know, generally most artists will take about, they'll take about a day to sketch something, and then they'll take about a day to ink it. And, you know, working kind of 9 to 5 or sometimes crazier hours as well to get things out. I know that like I worked with Jeff Stokely on a graphic novel many years ago, and he actually got an assistant to kind of do the backgrounds, and you know, more props to him, because you're, when you're dealing with like 200 pages, trying to get those out in like a year, it's insanity.
Right. Awesome.
Paris, did you have any other questions?
I was just going to ask, how do you like Alex Ross's art and the colors that he uses as far as like when he does his, are you familiar with Alex Ross?
I'm just quickly, but I'm pretty sure I know his, he's the one who does, oh, his, apologies.
Yeah, no
his
worries.
Stuff is amazing. He takes so long to do comics interior pages, and I can completely understand why. I don't know how he works. I'd actually be fascinated to see, like, I would watch an Alex Ross live stream just to see him like mash the colors. Or say, hey, imagine he does them in like, it's like Gauche or like Acrylics or something like that. I don't actually know how he does them, but his, the way that he, everything is so dramatic and yet so still at the same time. I don't know how he does it. Like it's just these beautiful characters and these gorgeous backgrounds and backdrops, and these, this, with this intense lighting, but there's also kind of like a serenity to them at the same time. Like yeah. it's I don't know, I think he really can. I think he captures, for example, Superman just perfectly. I would argue that Superman is probably one of the best out there.
Awesome. Yeah, that's all I had right there. Awesome. Thank you. Right.
She is a Superman fan. I just want to put it out there.
Yeah.
Well, we look forward to you getting your Superman. So hopefully you can.
Yeah,
get it
hopefully.
Out.
One day.
Let us know when you do, because I would love to see it. So
yeah. Awesome.
Well, Trina, I know that we're coming up on the hour mark, so I want to respect your time. And you know, I want to thank Paris and PK for coming out. And before, Trina, before we do your outro, I just want to real quick go to our panelists so that your outro could be last and more and memorable. PK, where can we find you?
Definitely find me at Four Guys with Quarters. Always here to support my co-hosts here. And definitely find me on Twitter at PKX Live and on my channel at PK Entertainment. Definitely glad. I want to thank you, Trina, for coming aboard and gracing us with your presence and giving us a little more backstory and in-depth look at what it's like to be in your shoes. And hopefully we get to see some of your projects come down the line and see how great your artwork is.
And Paris, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at PLock77. You can also find me managing our Marvel Studios, well, not Marvel Studios, but the Marvel Cinematic Universe Facebook page. We have over 540, now 2,000 members in the group, so it's growing expeditiously. If you want to talk about anything Marvel, from Marvel comics to Marvel movies, TV shows, it doesn't matter if it's Marvel, please come join and check us out.
Awesome. And Trina, thank you for coming on, hanging out with us, and you know, giving us the insight of what it's like to be a colorist and everything that you've gone through to get where you are today, your story of coming up in the industry. Where can people find you and your latest project on the shelf?
So you can, my website is trina.t.farrell.com if you want to have a look at my stuff. And you better find me on Twitter though. I'm at TreeStumpt. That's it. You know, just keeping an eye out for like local things that are like constantly ejecting out work. So like keeping an eye on my Twitter, you'll probably just, you know, I'll be like retweeting and like announcing things as they go. So
awesome. If you ever do anything Marvel and you want to release it or shout out any of your art or get some feedback from folks, we have a pretty active community. So please swing on by and
wonderful. Folks,
yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you everyone for coming on the show today. Thank you for everybody in the chat. I'm going to go ahead and close the interview and see you next time.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a good one, guys.